We want to begin in the Bible, starting from the very beginning. We want to start a study tonight in the book of Genesis. I hope to take us all the way through, not just through Genesis, but all the way through the Old Testament. That's the plan. Now, there are some difficult let me choose my words. There are some tough issues here that don't really get dealt with when you study through Genesis. In the beginning of all things, Genesis is obviously the book of beginnings. There are some issues that are being heavily debated even to this day. And the scholars and the scientists and the theologians have written book after book after book on the subject, so certainly I am not going to attempt to touch what they can do. I can't do that. So if you're hoping for a science lesson, you won't get it here. I do look like a scientist, I admit. But you're not going to hear it here. It has been done so well, and it continues to be done over and over until they're beating it bloody. And you can read those books on your own. There are many books written on the subjects that we'll talk about. Now, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis cover about a couple of thousand years. And really talk about beginnings. The rest of the Bible talks about God and his relationship with man and mankind. So it shows you where God's placing a lot of his importance. You're going to notice as we start this, God does not go into great detail. People do. But you read chapter 1, and you'll notice God says in just a few verses what others are saying in volumes of books. And I think there's a reason for that. As you read the books, and certainly don't let me discourage you from reading them, that's how you're going to see what the theologians think, what the scientists think. You're going to see how they try and build their arguments and how they try and work it out. But you're going to find many books written on the origin of mankind, on the origin of this earth. I know that you probably realize there is a fight going on even among believers. They're called evolutional creationists. There are creationists, there are evolutionists, and there are creation evolutionists, and they're evolving, so to speak, into different things together. Now listen closely. You will find many books written on the origin of mankind, or on the origin of the earth, or in the universe itself. And even though these books are excellently researched and written, I believe the Bible, God's word, will speak to your heart in a way that those books cannot. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you begin to read your Bible, God will speak to your heart in a way that those books can't do. They can't do it. Right away, before we even start the Bible, creation is talked about in verse 1. I've heard Christians argue creation should be taught in public schools. You think so? Who could teach creation? Just any old teacher? It's theological, guys. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not suggesting not to teach creation. I'm just saying, can you imagine what someone who is not a believer is going to say about creation if they have to teach it in school? Read through your Bible. Beginning tonight, today sometime, start in Genesis and read through Genesis. Just read through it to get an idea as we're going to study it together. Let God speak. And read your Bible over and over. If you get from Genesis all the way through to Revelation 22:21, if you get there, start over again and begin to read again and let the Lord speak to your heart. This God's word will change the way you see. It will change the way you think. God's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will literally change the way you live. Now, the author of the book is Moses. Oh, a few people list a couple other characters, but it's very commonly accepted, and as you go through, you recognize Moses is the author. He's the author of the first five books of the Bible, called the Pentateuch, five. It's called the Pentateuch, so now if you're around people that like to use Bible words, they say, I've been reading through the Pentateuch, you will know what they're saying is, that's just a real big way to say, I've been reading through the first five books of the Bible. Another thing that you could call it, and that is legitimate, and it is called this by many people, the Law. The first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, are also called the Law. Jesus says to a young man, if you will do these things, if you'll love God with your whole heart, your whole strength, your whole mind, then love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says that is the Law and the Prophets. The Law and the Prophets. What was he saying? That is the entire Old Testament. The first five books would be the Law. The rest would be the Prophets. All the things that God had to say. And we start it with Genesis. And this is what we read. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you've heard me say it before. Maybe you've heard others say it before. The truth is, if you have trouble with the first four words of the Bible, you are going to have trouble with the rest of the Bible. The first four words are, in the beginning, God. If you're stumped already, you have a problem all the rest of the way through. But let's read the verse again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That means before time was, God is. In the beginning. Whatever you choose to call the beginning, the fight is on, isn't it? Some say it's a young earth. Some say it's an old earth. Some say it's 100,000 years old. Some say it's a million years old. Some say it's literally billions of years old. I don't know where you are. I know what I think, and who cares what I think? I don't know where you are, but here, wherever you are, let's just face it. The Bible just said wherever you are, in the beginning, whatever you call the beginning, God was already. God exists and has never not existed. And in the beginning of this whole thing, God was there. In the beginning, God. He created the heaven and the earth. Now notice, immediately, notice, there is no argument here to prove that there is a God. God's word starts out with the understanding that God exists, period. So in the beginning, God. Now, people will fight it, but if you're an atheist, the Bible does talk about you. And I think it's Psalm 14, verse 1, isn't it? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible, God's word, begins with this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No stopping to prove that God is there. It's a fact. There it is. And everybody has to deal with it somehow. The word created, in the beginning God created, is the Hebrew word bara, B-A-R-A. It means to create with nothing. Or another way to say that is to create from nothing. Or to create out of nothing. God didn't take something that was here and put it together. Now, I've seen people who are gifted with their hands. Seen people work with wood. They take the wood, prepare the wood, and they can carve it or put things together and make beautiful things. But they didn't create the wood. They took something that was there and made something out of it. That's what mankind is all about. That's how we function. We can't create. Although people say, well, just create your own reality. We can't create. If you want to try creating, people say, yeah, but I invented this. That's not creating. You're coming up with ideas, but you're using what's already there. I could take electricity and run it through this and make a light go. Well, great, but you see, the electricity, God created out of nothing. If you want to try this and see if that's true, here's a simple experiment. Just close your eyes for a moment, don't take long, and create another basic color. Go ahead. You know why you can't? Because God has created them. Now, you can take those that are the base colors, and you can make myriads of different colors out of them. I mean, you could take, you've seen paint stores. You say, I want this to match my eyes. They're kind of reddish, you know, and then the paint, they go, okay, got it. And they'll put it together, right? They are not creating. They are taking what's there and making something out of it. That's what mankind does. God, the Bible says, didn't do that. He existed before, and in the beginning, when he started this, he created from nothing. What did he create? Heaven and the earth. Heaven would be out there. Now, we're not talking about his home. We're not talking about where his throne is. We're talking about the sky where the birdies fly and the place where the planets hang out. That would be the heaven. And the earth would be dirt and stuff and water and things. Okay, are you with me? I'm trying to keep this very simple so I don't sound so scientific. In this first verse, I promise we'll finish this. I'll hurry. In this first verse, we have a refutation, or God refutes, six major heresies in the world today. In verse 1. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. To inspire means to breathe in. To expire means to breathe out. So instead of saying people die, sometimes you'll hear legal term that he or she expired at a certain time on the first. To expire means to breathe out. To inspire means to breathe in. And God, all Scripture is God-breathed, is inspired by God. He breathed it. So as Moses is writing this, the Spirit of the living God is breathing into him, and he pens the words. He's not trans-channeling. The Spirit is working in his life. So God says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So six major heresies are refuted. Number one, atheism, right there in verse 1. This refutes atheism. See, in the beginning, God, this assumes the existence of God, whereas atheists say there is no God. So right away, without question, the Bible has just refuted that, saying, yes, there is. And in the beginning, God did something. It refutes the teaching, the heresy of polytheism. Polytheism is a belief in a multitude of gods. The Egyptians had literally millions of gods when the Jews were being held in bondage there. Millions of gods. They worshiped flies and frogs and stars and the moon and the planets, and they worshiped the trees and the different animals, the lions and the tigers and the bears. Oh, that was too slow. Oh my. Polytheism. A singular form of the word is used here, in the Hebrew, Elohim. Plural in singular. Think about that for 3 seconds. Because God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So a singular word is used, and within the word, it's plural and singular. There is only one God. So we refute here polytheism, many gods. There's a heresy that is called materialism. All matter is all that matters, and all matter is eternal. In other words, this earth formed from a big bang because something had to bang out there. Something, gases or something got together, exploded. You see, materialism. But here we see God says, no, God created the heaven and the earth from nothing, out of nothing. So it does away with materialism. There's pantheism. Pantheism, I'm sure you're familiar with that, meaning that God, or the gods, depending upon what you think, is a part of everything or is in everything. The force. It's around you. It flows through you. You can use it. It can use you. No, that's pantheism. This very clearly shows, this verse very clearly shows you and I that God is distinct from his creation. In the beginning, God created from nothing heaven and the earth. He is distinct, separate from his creation. He is not a part of every little molecule, every little tree, every little flower. No. He is distinct from creation. That's pantheism. Now there's naturalism.
And of course, many scientists are naturalists. That teaches that all things happened in a natural course or because of natural things. This verse, again, clearly shows it was not natural at all, but it was a miracle. Again, you take some time and try to create something out of nothing at all. That's supernatural. The heaven and the earth, no natural method was used. Then six, which is one of my favorite ones, special revelation. That's a heresy that's taught. There is no such thing, they say, as special revelation. In other words, if there is some kind of God, he's certainly not going to be talking to you about anything. He doesn't mess with people. I mean, we're on our own. Everything's going to happen the way it's going to happen. There's nothing to all this. Well, they say special revelation is non-existent and it is impossible. But here we see special revelation. What do I mean? How does Moses know in the beginning God created? Moses wasn't there. That is usually the question you ask those who are very convinced about evolution. They say, this is what happened. How do you know? Were you there? Well, no, nobody was. Oh, but somebody was. God was. So I would certainly take his word over yours anytime. Special revelation. God can reveal to you, can reveal to me, can reveal to us things that we can trust even though we were not there and we don't really know about them. Six heresies. Now, there are many theories about creation. A theory, according to Mr. Webster, the collegiate Mr. Webster, is the analysis of a set of facts in their relation to one another. I'll say it again. A theory is the analysis of a set of facts in their relation to one another. And then he goes on to say, for instance, speculation. We've got these set of facts, and since we weren't there, we speculate that our theory is this. There are theories that some call Christian theories. There are non-Christian theories, but there are theories to meet your needs. Whatever you feel you need to believe, somebody has already come up with a theory for it, and you can just grab onto it. But remember, it is speculation, because the only one who was there has just told us God created everything. I know that one of the problems, one of the many, but a major problem with Christians is they don't want to look dumb. Now, none of you are like that, but other Christians, I mean. They just don't want to look dumb. And so if science seems to be going this way, we don't want to take God's word for it. We're a little embarrassed. Oh, no, going to make God look a little bit stupid. Poor God. So we sort of try to come up with a theory to say, well, we can fit what you're thinking with this theory. Here's a theory, and that doesn't make us look dumb, makes God look okay. Everybody's sort of happy again until science takes a left and goes another way. Notice that? Do this. A little embarrassed about God. Sometimes he's so old-fashioned. We're afraid somebody's going to catch him in a mistake. Catch him in an error, and oh Lord, what that would do. Because by the way, if he ever makes a mistake, he can't be God. He said so himself. His own standard is 100% accuracy at all times. How many of us have done that? Jesus Christ did. But he was fully God and fully man. I haven't done it. I know that shocks you. Have you? No, you see, you got these theories. The two main theories that are really the locomotives of the theories, the power, the ones that really drive. Two main theories are the gap theory, which is shopping at malls. Just kidding. I'm sorry. I had to, because you guys are looking so serious. There's the gap theory, and then there's the very, very, I love this title, the non-gap theory. Who would have thought of that? Those are great. Those are great. Speculation. Those are the theories. And they really have to do with verses 1 and 2, so let's read them together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the theory, because of some of the language, is that there is a gap between verses 1 and 2. In the Hebrew, you can't have it. Yet, it's still a theory, and people hold that theory because they want scientists, they want this to be all right, basically. But the Hebrew language won't allow it. So there are many, many that are gap theory. Then there's the non-gap theory. And you can read, there are books galore on this subject. And what I have found is you can find the book that fits what you like to think. That's what's interesting about these theories, is because they are theories. And the people weren't there. Well, they're going to go with what they feel the language says. And you'll see both of them argue from the original language, and both of them go in a different direction. But that is a theory that says there's a gap. Now, when you've got a gap between verses 1 and 2, you do run into troubles. If there's a gap, you can make that gap as long as you want it to be, or as short as you want it to be. I mean, you can just, now you're in charge, and science can take over, and you can say, well, science says this, therefore this gap is a billion years, or maybe it's 5 billion. In other words, you can make this gap what you need it to be to fit what you have decided your theology might be. It's not here. It's not logical. It's not right, because then speculation comes in. Well, if that's the case, you'll notice that pretty soon a lot of questions come up. Well, then that would mean there was death before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Of course, if there was death before the fall of man, then there had to be possibly some other kind of critter here besides man before man got here. And then you run into a lot of other troubles, because that refutes too much scripture further on down the line when you get into the New Testament. So you got some real problems on your hands. So I'm not even going to go through it. I'll let you read all those books, if you choose. But let's get scientific for a second. This is for those who are scientific, and this is as far as I can go, because I have two brain cells and one of them is normally resting. And I've explained to you how difficult it is to make a bologna sandwich with only two brain cells when one of them's asleep. We won't go into that. In the first two verses, for those of you that are really into science, we have here time, space, matter, force, and motion. In the beginning, that's time. God created the heaven, that's the space out there. And the earth, that would be matter. The Spirit of God, which would be a force or a power or an authority, moved upon the face of the waters, which would be the motion. So we have time, space, matter, force, and motion. There, pretty good, huh? Okay, that's enough for that. All right, let's move on and get to the Bible study now. And God said, let there be light, verse 3, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Hey, the first recorded words of God in his word are what? God's first words recorded in the Bible are, let there be light. Then you think he'd say something like, look at this, guys, is this cool? Or something really heavy. He spoke, let there be light, and then the Bible says, there was light. Where'd it come from? He made it. He created it. What from? Nothing. He didn't use little wires and any little knobs. He didn't use any dirt and get it all. He didn't use lots of water just rushing quickly to draw. What did he do? He created light from nothing. You try that sometime. It wasn't an accidental happening, guys. It wasn't some chance molecules striking each other in the wrong direction. It wasn't something like we're hearing. It was divine intervention. Light just didn't evolve. And light does travel, as you and I know. They're timing it. Some say it's slowing down, and some say whatever they say, and you can bend it. And you know all those things about light. But God spoke it into existence. It didn't just somehow happen. God spoke it. The first words of God recorded in the Bible, let there be light. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith. What does that mean? That means God spoke and he had faith? No, that's not what the Scripture says. Through faith. In other words, we believe because we weren't there. Through faith, we believe that he simply spoke and they were created right on the spot. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. God created from nothing. And then the Bible says something that you cannot ignore. God saw that it was good. And then what does the Bible say? And the evening and the morning were the first day. God just gave you a time frame. If you think it took a million years to create light, God said, no, maybe he just started the world spinning. I don't know. Maybe he just gave it a shove and it started to spin. And the evening and the morning were what? A 24-hour day. Were the first day. You can't argue with it. You can not like it. You can go look for scientific proof otherwise. But Scripture says in the evening and the morning were the first day. Although there are many theories, many debates, I think we need to read the Bible and believe what God says. I think we're looking at a 24-hour day, evening and morning, round the clock as the earth spins. Sounds like a soap opera, doesn't it? As the earth spins. I'd never sell. And God said, verse 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. What? Firmament. In the original language, what does it mean? Do you ever look it up? It literally means airspace. The firmament means airspace. Dividing the waters from the waters. So that means there were waters on top of the airspace and waters under the airspace. Waters up in the air and waters down below. You're thinking, what? Water in the air? Doesn't that sound... Now, come on. Let me say it again. Water in the air? Does that sound weird? Let's see your hand. Doesn't that sound weird? It does. Until you look at the news just a few days ago. In California, had a freak storm and they dropped 5 inches of rain within just a few hours over, what, 70 or 80 miles. How much water was in the sky? And that's, come on, that's, you got to agree with me on this. That was a lot of water in the air, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Oh, did you see Michigan got dumped on, too? Did you just see that in the news? And I mean, the winds blew and the waters came down and things flooded. Where did that water come from? The sky, man, girl. There was water in the air. Yeah, and there was water in the air back then as well. It's a lot of water, I'd say. And look at verse 8. God called the firmament heaven. What does the word firmament mean? Can you remember? Tell me. Airspace. God called the firmament heaven. Not the place where his throne is now. What's the heaven we're talking about? Yeah, where the birdies fly and where the planets hang out. Yeah, right. You got airspace going on. You got space, the final frontier. God called the firmament heaven. And notice something. In the evening and the morning, or the next day, the second day. Isn't that what this says? In the evening and the morning. This isn't, now it's not saying there was 1,000 evenings and 1,000 mornings. I think that it's pretty clear here what's going on. This is miraculous. This is supernatural. There's something going on here that is powerful. And what I like about it is God is not going into great detail at all. Moses, quick, get this down and we'll get on to what's important. How do we get here? I put you there. Next question. No, really. You notice how God is not going in super in-depth. Scientists do. Scholars go in way above their heads. And they try to get some things out here that just aren't here. Well, God bless them. They're smarter than me. But I'm telling you, we can at least look at what's here. Even you and I could do that. In the evening and the morning were the second day. And God, verse 9, said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land, earth, and the gathering together of the waters, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Water is separated from the land. Now there's water upstairs still, but the water that's down below the airspace, God says, we'll separate that out. And so he brings the waters together, and land is there now, dry land. Separating the waters, he called the waters seas, and the land he called Texas. No, it says earth, but that too. And then God creates plant life. Grass, trees, vegetables, fruit trees, and there we go, shrubbery. And listen, everyone. And it was day number 3. And the evening and the morning were the third day. That's a lot of gardening. The entire earth filled with lush greenery and plants, trees with fruit on them. Now, I would have said that had taken a little time, but you see, God could do that. Well, it doesn't stop. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament. Now, this is cool. Because it was in day 1 when he created light. But it wasn't until day 4 that he created the sun and the moon. Now, that's weird. Got to give you that one. So, Bible scholars are a little torn. Now, how do I explain this? One guy said, well, it's easy. He created the sun and the moon. He created light, and there was light, and God saw that it was good. And then on the fourth day, he put them in the right place. Well, almost. I mean, the Bible almost says that. What the Bible says is he created light. And then on the fourth day, he created the sun and the moon and did place them in their place. God said, let there be lights in the firmament. What's the firmament? Tell me what that is. Airspace. All right, you got it. And the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be signs, or let them be, for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
the sun and the moon and the stars. And he places them in their positions in heaven. How many stars are there? Nobody knows. More than billions. Bible is going to, when we get further on into the Bible, you're going to learn that the Bible says that God has named every one of them. Dasher and Dancer. I mean, he's named them all. He calls them, the Bible says, he calls them by name. And we get a church of 12 and we go, I can't remember everybody's name. And we're still not impressed with how big God is. God's big. In the evening and the morning were the fourth day. That was day number four. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. And the fowl, that would be a bird, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Firmament is what? Okay, the birds are going to fly in the airspace. And God created great sea monsters. The original language says huge, huge monsters. King James people thought monsters going to freak people out, so we'll say whales. What the original language includes is all the huge fishies. Not just whales, but all the huge creatures. God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were day number five. Okay, you've just been given some powerful information here. Information that doesn't hold when you begin to talk about evolution. It just doesn't hold. See, the fish and the birds show up at the same time, on the same day. And it's a 24-hour period. And the evening and the morning were that day. The day number five, right? So you don't have time for this little one-celled ugly thing to creep and crawl and weird. In a few million years, he finally flips out of the water and thinks, I better learn to breathe out here. I can't get back. And then wings pop out. And he no. The Bible specifically says at the same time that the great whales and things were created, he created birds. And at the same time, he said, all right, you guys, I bless you. You guys have puppies and you guys have puppies. So there'll be birds all in the air. And can you imagine? Think about this. Those of you that are into evolution. A mother bird has a puppy. And that puppy, one of his wings isn't a wing, but it's an arm with fingers. Would that freak out the mother or what? Billy, how are you going to fly? That's exactly what's being taught. You see, it had to happen over years. Well, right. Well, somebody had to come out with some weird babies, didn't they? Didn't happen, guys. It didn't happen. God's word clearly says it didn't happen. He created the birds with wings and feathers and things. He created the fish big. He created sea monsters. Big, huge whales. They didn't start out as, from the ooze and the slime and grow into that. No, he created, there they were. They were big. He goes, go have kids. Be fruitful and multiply now. Not when you finally come around to it and you're old enough. He created them. Well, I shouldn't use the word old because we're coming to Adam soon. Think about that, guys. You got to think about these things because everybody says evolution is scientific. Is it scientific? Okay. When that first mother monkey had a baby that looked with a face like this, what do you think that mother did? Drown that baby is what happened. Something's wrong with this one. Doesn't work, guys, does it? It just doesn't work. I think God's word is not only solid and real, but God's word is also logical. You take a look at anything else and it doesn't hold water. You've got to really stretch and come up with some theories to try and make all of this work otherwise. That was the fifth day.
And God saw that it was good in every way. That tells me something. And I hate to use this term, but why not throw it in here? Sounds mature. That tells me that there was an ecological balance between animal kind, fish kind, and vegetation kind. That there was a good, solid balance, and it was working well. God saw that it was good. And that was day number 5. Verse 24 says this. And God said this, let the earth, not the water, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and creeping thing, beast of the earth, after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God created the animals, not from the water. Notice they didn't crawl out of the water and over time learn to walk, learn to fly, learn to crawl, whatever. No, God created them there, the earth, not from the water, but there from nothing in the earth. And he created creeping things. What are creeping things? Depends on who you talk to. Some say certain people that hang out downtown Spokane are creeping things. But what the Bible means when it says creeping things are things that crawl. For instance, reptiles, worms, and little things that walk that you're still wondering why. What does a gnat think as they're buzzing around and you're watching it? You're going, it doesn't know it. Is it, what is it? Is it thinking anything? And then you've got mosquitoes and flies, and you've got spiders and snails. And God created all those things, the animals and the creepy, crawly things as well. And the Bible says God saw that it was good. Then verse 26. And God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing, reptiles and everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We'll stop there, and I was going to read the rest of the verses, but wait. God said, let us make man in our image. Here, good question here. Who is us? Let us make man in our image. Is he talking to the angels that are hanging around? Oh, Lord, that's a cool one. Okay, watch this, guys. Let us. No, that's not what's going on. What's going on here is God the Father is talking to himself. He's talking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Because as you'll see, the Spirit of the living God, in the beginning, we saw it earlier. I didn't bring it up. I knew you'd catch it yourself. But in the beginning, God, so we have the Father, and also we have the Spirit hovering or brooding or moving over this earth. Now, you say, well, that's God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. What about Jesus? God, what about the Son? You'll see there are many scriptures that show you Jesus Christ was right there and was creator as well. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Father says to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, let's make man in our image. Isn't that what he says? After our likeness. Okay, now God is a spirit. And so you might be misunderstanding what's going on here. We're created in God's image, but this is not what God looks like. I'm thankful. And he says, let's let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds, the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over all, every creeping thing that crawls on the ground. So God created man in his own image. God's image. You know, none of the other fish or fowl, or cattle, or alligators, creeping things, or little bugs. None of them were created in God's image. None. Only man. To teach evolution would be to make us all the same. And God says, not so. We'll make man differently. Let's make man in our image. In our likeness. Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. You know that. Man, by the way, you and I, man, women, mankind, we are free agents. What that simply means is we're a personality. Some of us really are. True? We are self-conscious, whereas the animal kingdom is not. You and I stop and make decisions. The animals base their lives on, birds just decide, shoot, it's cold, must be time to fly south. Why do we do this? I don't know. We always do. Our family's been doing this since we started this whole thing. And then you guys, you're self-conscious. You say, I ain't leaving just because it's cold. I'm staying here. But there are a few who go, we're going south, man. We are going south. But it's a choice because they're made in the image of God. They are personalities. They are self-conscious, self-aware. They realize. And so you begin to make decisions. Whether they're wise or not, that's always up to you and between you and God. But you make decisions. You're created in God's image. You are free to choose and to decide. Whereas, bears, they just figure it's getting, I better start eating heavy. Why? I don't know. I'm just really more hungry than usual. And then the clock ticks and they say, it's bedtime, and they go to sleep for a long time. And some of us do that, but many choose to continue to go to work. Because man is a free agent, whereas the animal kingdom is not. The fish are not. The birds are not. The cattle are not. The creepy, crawly things are not. But you and I have been made in the image of God. Man is able to speak. So dolphins talk. Whales talk. They're monkeys talk. They're starting to... No, come on. Let's just get legitimate for a minute. Man is able to communicate articulately, choosing his words and putting his thoughts into words. Then we read right at the very beginning, and God said, let there be light. He is articulate, self-conscious. He is able to put his thoughts into words and communicate them. We're made in God's image. Male and female, God blessed them and said to them this, be fruitful and multiply. And here's where the fight comes in again. Verse 28. Be fruitful and multiply. And the King James says, replenish the earth. How can you replenish unless something was there and it got destroyed and you have to start over? Oh, good argument. What's the answer? The answer is really simple. Even though there's heavy debate going on, the Hebrew word, it's male, M-A-L-E, and it literally means to fill. Not to refill, but to literally fill. So the verse clearly says this. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. To subdue means having authority over it. Taking authority and control over the fish, or direction, over the fish, over the birds, over the cattle, over the creeping things. And don't we do that, or hasn't mankind basically done that? Not as we should have because of the fall. You'll see some of the problems there. But we kind of do. If the insects get out of line, what do? Spray them. If we build a house and we don't want them in, what do? Kick them out. We take authority. We subdue. We're literally overseeing them in authority. If the animals run into your front yard and they're not yours, you call somebody, come and get them. I take authority over these. Go lock them back up. These cattle are in my front yard and they're not mine. Or you butcher them and they're yours now. You know, whatever you choose as you are. Remember, you're self-conscious, self-aware. You can choose whatever you want to do.
but to subdue.
Now, the fall is going to cause a lot of trouble. We'll get to that in another chapter. But now, we read this, that was day number 6. I read it in verse 31, but let's get to verse 31 so I won't be cheating you. And God said, verse 29, "Behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food." Notice that man ate vegetables and fruit and nuts before beef. "To every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb." So all the animals, underline all the animals ate, not bugs, what? Vegetables too, tofu, that kind of stuff. Yeah. All the animals. The tigers, whatever animals were there, that's what they ate. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were day number 6. So we're done. Something to think about as we close. We'll just worship for a few minutes and we'll be done. Something to think about. God is mentioned 32 times in this chapter, with no attempt whatsoever made to prove his existence. God is mentioned 32 times, with no attempt made whatsoever to prove his existence. Psalm 14:1, I read it to you before. Let me read it again. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." It is clear. Later on, Romans will tell us. You can see God in his handiwork. You see, God is the one who created all of this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see here, there is unity in the Godhead. God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, let us make it, male and female." There is unity in the Godhead. God is not arguing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They don't sit and counsel, as some cults teach, that there's a council before this all started, and Lucifer, the spirit brother of Jesus, they got into a big debate, into an argument. And no, it doesn't work that way. The Godhead is in unity. And you see that when Jesus shows up, don't you? "I do always the things that please my Father. Whatever my Father says, that's what I do." God says, "Let us make man in our image." Here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Simply meaning, there is no excuse to say that there is no God. If you would look around at the moon, and the stars, if you would look around at the trees and the whole watering system that God has chosen to water the earth with to keep things going, and the amazing way it all works. Paul says there's only one conclusion you could come to. This was created, and God is almighty and in absolute control. And it gets better from here on out. Let's bow our heads.